Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Hardcore Listing Podcast. I'm Stu Whiffin. I'm one of your hosts. Chris isn't about, so I'm doing the intro on my own today. Today's podcast, it's a tasty one. It's with Gemma and Will from Wilmer's. And Wilmer's make amazing hot chocolate, coffees and cakes. And we eat some. And it's a relatively new business. And we discuss at length, whilst munching, what it's like to follow a dream and pursue that idea and that business and create it and run it. And it was a really, really enjoyable chat, not just because the cakes were delicious, but because Gemma and Will are just really nice people, and you're going to find that out now. Just to let you know, if you do like this episode and you've been enjoying the previous year and a half's worth of Hardcore Listing Podcasts and you're thirsty for more, then we have a Patreon account, which is patreon.com/hardcore listing. Go over there and have a look. There's a little video over there featuring Chris, I, Brad, 76, Gail Porter, Scroobius Pip, and it tells you all about Patreon. And as for as little as 70p a month, you'd become a supporter of the Hardcore Listing Podcast, and you get loads of, well, you get a free podcast each week as well. And you get free tickets to We Are Lizards events, free tickets to all our live shows. Yeah, all sorts of cool stuff. So head over there and have a look. In the meantime, thanks to 76 for producing this. Thanks to everybody at the Distraction Pieces for just being ace and continually putting out superb podcasts. Thanks to our pod daddy, Scroobius Pip. And enjoy this episode of Hardcore Listing with Gemma and Will. It's a drunken soiree in the Within. Chris and Stu present Hardcore Listing, the podcast. There you have it. Crunching his crisps, CGT. Chrissy Gold Touch.
It's often not me.
No.
Because normally when I crunch a crisp, no one listening is going to hear CDs, but I do this.
So that.
And then the person we're interviewing thinks I'm mental. Because I lean in on them.
Yeah, away from the mic is what you're trying to say there.
Mm-hmm.
How are you today?
I'm grand.
You haven't got a car, have you?
No, that's, I'm less grand about that.
Yeah.
Are we going to discuss that now? That might come up in the drunk cast, I imagine, at some point.
Yeah, let's save that for the drunk cast.
Basically, for the listeners, the car died, and they tried to spank me for it, but we'll go over that at some other point.
Right.
Apart from that, I'm all right, mate.
Good.
Yeah. I did a little crisp crunch there, because there may be, just to get people, be people aware, there may be some slight munching on today's episode.
Yes.
Because of our guests.
Introduce them.
It's Wilmer's, aka Will and Gemma. And
hello.
Gemma's and Gemma's my lovely niece.
Wilmer's.
Yeah.
Wilmer. Like, so we've got Will, Gemma,
Ma.
Wilmer. We're like Brangelina.
Just got that.
It's brilliant, isn't it? Honestly, you were running for a long, you had it up and running for quite a while, and I hadn't put that together, had I, basically?
Yeah. Yeah, loser.
No. So how are you guys doing?
All right, how are you?
Hey, well, thank you. Yeah, pretty good. I'm glad to finally have you on, Jen, to be honest with you. Slightly nervous.
Why?
Well, because we grew up together, really. So
I kicked your ass.
I mean, let's try and clarify it, because you say niece, and yet you've grown up together.
Yeah.
So normally, like, you know, in my experience, nieces are a lot younger.
And twice a year, like once at Christmas, once on
and
a birthday.
All of that, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
How comes?
Well, me and my bro, Gemma's dad, there's 18 years difference.
Mm-hmm.
So actually, we grew up more like brother and sister than anything else. So, yeah, so we grew up, took Gemma under my wing, showed her the ways of the world, didn't I?
Yeah, something like that. I kicked your ass quite a lot.
You say that, I mean, you probably could now. I remember there was a few years when I had a height.
A black belt?
A height. You know all about my black belt. It's legit, isn't it? I had a black belt and everything.
Yeah.
So, Wilma's cupcakes, we have sampled before when you came round with Jess Megan, who Jess went and done a photo shoot at Wilma's, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, she came in, she munched some cakes, hot chocolate.
Yeah. Has she been more than once now, Jess?
Yeah, she's been a couple of times. She's lovely.
Lucky.
Will, you're very quiet.
He's just listening.
He's waiting.
So, we have had some cakes before, and they were delicious.
Yeah.
But we'll get on to that.
Yeah.
But I think that the best thing to do first is to announce what your top five is going to be. Will, it's your turn to speak. What is your top five going to be?
Our top five is... I'll leave that to Gemma.
I don't think he knows what our top five is. It's pretty much challenges when starting your business or starting a business, which is something that we've lived twice over now.
Mm.
Well, still living.
Well, yeah, still living.
Mm.
And it's a constant living. It's... Yeah, I'll tell you about that when we get onto our five. Okay. That's one of them.
Almost when we started, you were like, oh, I haven't been able to because I've been busy working in the bedroom, you said earlier, which was a lovely way to... Was like, and Gemma wasn't there. This is a very open relationship.
Just on my own.
Very stressful job.
You're having with my niece.
Sometimes like, a little bit of me time.
Yeah.
It's been a full-on day.
But you guys are like always, like starting a business, you guys...
And Wilma's are a couple, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
We've been together for 6 years.
That's so long, isn't it? Absolutely, you know.
A little while.
Can't believe how that's flown past. But it's since you started Wilma's in particular, you have been absolutely ram-packed. And it's been lovely to watch how it's growing. And it is absolutely taking off and it's doing brilliantly.
And you're fiercely proud because you do talk about it a lot.
Yeah, I am. And but it is, you can tell how much of a... It's really interesting to see that how much investment that has taken from you guys. And like you are, like even tonight, we nearly couldn't quite make it because you were waiting on a delivery. Actually, that was a home delivery for once though, wasn't it? Was it a personal purchase that, or was it...
Yeah, it was. Yeah. We've got a lovely big pink Smeg in the shop and we've gone for a big black one at home. So...
Smeg, we're from big black Smeg.
Very big.
Yeah.
Black. So, yeah. Shiny.
It was second hand, wasn't it? It was a big black second hand.
Yeah, it was. It's definitely been used before.
All it had was a scratch. It just had a scratch down the side, didn't it?
We have a very open relationship, Chris and I.
I'm just picking up on that.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that... Yeah. We talk about.
We do, don't we? We've always been very much, because we're brother and sister and that, we've had a very, like, sort of, like, just chat about anything, really, and
anything
each other's
goes.
Problems. So, yeah, that's why I'm nervous, because I might say something and Gemma might correct me or pick me up on something, so that's why.
But the gonorrhea, we
said we'd edit that.
Right, sorry.
We wouldn't talk about it, but we'll take that out. Yeah, it's still persisting.
Yeah.
We'll probably discuss that in the drunk cast soon as well, my bro... How much do you know about my broken penis?
Can I just say, the journey home...
At the moment? Now?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
The journey home from the book club on Saturday, it was me, Pip, and B in the car.
Yeah.
And we've been obviously just chatting about the night. And then we got on the A13 and And it, no, like, obviously, like, three in the morning, things just got a bit quiet. And it just went quiet for about 10 seconds, and Pip just went, "We're going to talk about Chrissy's broken cock on the drunk cast."
Stuff the drunk cast. I want to know what happened.
But I didn't know that you told him. I didn't know if you just told me. And so when he said it, it was just like, oh, amazing. I've been wanting to talk about this so much. And I was like, yes, definitely.
So without going too much into it, Jem, on this, because these lot will probably want to destroy me on the drunk cast, but my penis has been sort of like out of order for a while. There's an out of order sign just hanging off the end of it.
Really small.
Yeah, totally. So it's made of, it's a lead sign. So how do we come to my broken penis? I can't remember.
I think you mentioned gonorrhea.
You brought it up.
So I'll tell you all about that at some other point, Jen. But yes.
I look forward to it.
Yeah.
Well, should we start your top five? And is it, what is it, struggles with setting up a business?
It's just challenges, I'd say.
Okay.
Challenges. Because all of these things you can overcome. And for a lot of people, they are challenges. And a lot of people, they're sort of learning steps.
I think a lot of it as well is these are things that when we're talking to you about starting the business up, it's always, you always look on the positive side of things. And not to say that they're negatives, but you don't often think about these other sides to it. You know, these are like the bits that we've picked up along the way that no one ever sort of tells you about it as you're about to go into business. You know, you think, I'm going to start my business. Oh, that's amazing. You'll do great. Well, the reality is,
all this shit. All right, groovy. Well, shall we start on one?
Definitely.
Throw one at us, guys.
So I'd probably say the first one is the hours of work. They say there's that famous saying: if you find a job that you love, you'll never have to work another day in your life.
Yeah.
Complete and utter bullshit. Even if you love it, it is still there.
I really
is still
thought you
were
going to say that's so true.
Complete and utter bullshit.
Even when you love something,
there
are still moments where it has its challenges and it is complete work, whether you love it or not. But it's just the hours of work, literally every single hour of the day. There's not an hour that passes where the business doesn't cross my mind, or like even sleep deprivation and just.
Yeah, but
the
even
first
when it's
thing
not,
you wake up.
Even when it's not crossing your mind, it's then forced back into your mind through social media or emails or phone calls or text messages, or, you know, there's always ways of being reached.
And
to the point where, when was it? August, wasn't it? My sister's wedding. We was at my sister's wedding, and somebody's contacting us about a cake order, and you just think it's my sister's wedding. We've advertised. We're closed. Go away, just for a day,
yeah.
You know, like literally in the middle of doing photos. You know, it's like a real sort of memorable bit of my sister's wedding, and someone's contacts about a cake.
It's not 9 to 5, and unfortunately, through it, we've lost, not lost friends, but people.
Yeah, I don't like you anymore now.
Yeah, well, we never really liked each other, to be fair. But people assume that you can just put it down.
Mm.
And
you just switch off at the end of the day. 5 o'clock, done. Mm-mm.
The most supportive of friends, it has definitely become a massive challenge because they're just like, okay, you've been doing it for a few years now. Surely you can give it a rest. But when it continues to grow, it doesn't. It does take over.
It's like all consuming, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah. Well, look, I've always run my own business.
Mm.
And bizarrely, in the last 3 years, I've took a job as well, and in that job my wife's the accountant as well. So how do you find it being in a relationship, and then, because for me, we get in from work and as we're having dinner we'll be talking about the people we don't like in the office or the people we do like in the office and the things that have irritated us, and then before you know it we're an hour into talking about work, and it's like, hang on a minute, this isn't our business, why are we even talking about this, you know? Because I know as well as you do, like when you go on holiday now, it takes me 3 or 4 days to stop thinking about work. And then I have a couple of days of holiday, and then I have 2 or 3 days of thinking, fuck, what am I going to get back to? Like, how much emails and letters and am I going to have to play sort of catch up on? So how do you find it as being a couple as well, for that kind of being able to switch off?
It is hard, but we... So we started the business like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Before that, we actually work together.
Okay.
So Will and I both used to work on cruise ships.
Oh, right. Doing what?
So I was cruise director, so in charge of the entertainment department. And Will started as a dancer.
Okay.
And then worked his way up to be deputy. So between the two of us, we ran the department. We'd always had that sort of working relationship. When you got on board, obviously we didn't know each other, and you came on as a dancer. He batted his eyelids at me.
At what point did the relationship begin? Was it like when he was like this sexy dancer and you was all this powerful woman? And was it like, was he a bit of your like your sexy dancer boyfriend bit on the side? Please say yes, because that's just
amazing. Why has he turned that into a porno scenario?
I think that's Chris's fantasy.
Womanese.
No, not me on the pole. No. Will on the pole.
No, I know. Yeah, so when did the relationship start? Or had you been working with each other for a while?
No, literally. Will
Gemma
got on
took
board.
No time at all getting a clause into me. It must have been about a day.
It's probably like 2 weeks.
No.
No?
It wasn't as long as that. It was only a 10-day cruise we were setting up for, so it was less than that.
Oh, that's awkward. We got on very well to begin with.
Yeah.
No, we did. Gemma's job was always, you know, when we were doing the shows, we'd be backstage getting ready to take over from the old cast who was outgoing. We'd be getting ready to do costume fittings and things like that. So we'd have to get backstage about 10, 15 minutes before the show finished. And then Gemma would also get backstage about 10, 15 minutes before the show finished to get ready to take it off and tell the passengers what was going on around the ship. So you've got 10 or 15 minutes of sitting around, not really doing a lot. So you get chatting.
Yeah.
And very quickly we found out that we lived remarkably close to each other, that we had almost followed each other around colleges, the areas of Essex. I moved to Hornchurch, Gemma moved to Romford. I moved back to Wickford, Gemma moved back to Canvey. You went to Seavick for a while, didn't you? Mm. I was going to go to Seavick. We've just followed each other around so much.
So we had a lot in common, didn't we?
So, yeah, it sort of got us chatting, and then, that happens every single night, and before you know it, you know so much about each other. That it just sort of carried on from there, really, didn't it?
That's really nice, man. And it's also really unique that you've managed to work professionally together.
Well,
you know, for it to be successful on a cruise ship is one thing, then you came home together, and then you then also set up a company, and it's like,
When on the cruise ship, it was organic in the sense that I was always Will's boss.
Yeah.
Still am.
Yeah.
And and because that's the way we'd always worked, it was easy. We've always had that working relationship, and I guess we had that before we hooked up. So from there's always been two relationships. We've always worn both hats, but they definitely do cross boundaries now, which is hard not to. But so many people say that they couldn't work together, but I guess we're just lucky because it's something we've always known.
Yeah, it's weird. Like a previous guest, Big Papa Jay, him and his wife have set a business up, worked professionally together, then set a business up and literally in each other's pockets 24/7. And it's, I think that must be tough. It's like, I've only ever really worked with my missus in a kind of professional environment, not for my business. So it's like, because that's the kind of, for me, that's like my baby. And that's like, I'm in control of that. The rest of my life in that house, I live with three girls. I have zero control. You know, I am told where, when and what. So, I don't think I could do it.
Carol's muscling in now on the nightclub business. She came and DJ'd for us.
Made her debut on Saturday. Yeah.
How'd it go?
She was alright.
Yeah, she's
great.
You
held her hand. I fucked off, didn't I?
Yeah, you gave me a hospital pass. Carol's then like, I thought she's coming down, and she's like, I'm on first for the first hour. I thought, what, you're doing the door? I literally asked if she was doing the door. And then she went, no, DJ. And I was like, oh God, well, I am being quite rude there. But then she was like, well, I've got no CDs. And I'm like, what the fuck's going on here? And she's like, yeah, and I don't even like stews. And she then went, yeah, do you want to just hang back with her for the first hour? I was like, fuck off, mate. You're going to like stitch me up.
But I can't start criticising what she's playing. It's in my domain. I can't do it.
No.
It just causes me trouble and I get told off.
Carol absolutely smashed it, though, to be fair. I said to her, the only disappointing thing at the end of her set was discovering that she hadn't just replaced Stu's set, that Stu was also DJing. I thought Stu wasn't going to play, but then he went on.
And the second song I played, as usual, My girl come up. Hello. Oh, hello. What can I play for you? Nothing. Can you turn it down? Every time. Every fucking time. Didn't even go anywhere near Carol when she was doing her set. Just wait till I went up there. Straight up.
Yeah. It was a great night, though, wasn't it?
It was really ice.
Good night. I think everyone did good sets.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah. So it was a good cool guy. Anyway.
We missed it.
So how did the idea of cakes and Wilma's come about?
Completely, utterly by accident.
Okay.
So I'd always baked as a hobby.
So should we explain what Wilma's is a little bit first, just for listeners that might not know exactly what it is?
So we've got... So Wilma's is a little shop on the Broadway in Leigh-on-Sea. And it's
an idyllic place just outside of Southend, isn't it? It's like very nice.
Yeah, it's so supportive of the independent community. Yeah. There's so many lovely little indie shops. They're absolutely beautiful. It's really, really lovely and a very artistic community. Mm. So it's a perfect place for us. And we've got like a little gourmet bakery, which does cupcakes and brownies, Rocky Roads, cake slices. We do a lot of birthday cakes, wedding cakes, corporate cakes as well. But we do quirky, everything's got a little bit of quirk and flair. We do quirky hot chocolates, which are all made with really good products. So it's all actual Belgian chocolate as opposed to any other stuff.
Nice produced stuff.
Yeah. And of course, cool coffee as well.
Yeah.
So Will's our barista. And it's just a tiny little shop, but it keeps us so very busy. It's really, really grown. And it's been open for just over a year now.
Well, the shop's been open
The shop has been just open for a year. So we started, it all came about completely, almost by accident. So as I said, we worked on cruise ships.
Sure.
Really long story short, almost 4 years ago, I started getting a repetitive... eye infection called uveitis, which is just an infection of your uvea. So you couldn't have any light in your eyes. And the doctors said the amount you're getting it's not common. So there must be an underlying problem. Turns out that I've got an autoimmune disease, although we didn't know it at the time. It was Australia Day 3 years ago. And I popped down to just...
Almost four.
Yeah,
January, it'll be four years ago.
So literally to go and get a piece of paper so that I could just get off the ship to go and see a specialist just for the day. And the doctor went, oh, just so you know, we're going to medically disembark you tomorrow. I was like, what? Sorry. Today's the biggest day for Australians. It's Australia Day. And it just can't happen. It's like the ship sailing without a captain. So I called Shoreside. They were like, no, you can't go tomorrow. But 3 days later, they had a quick standing replacement. And I was sent home. So another 3 days later, Will came home. But we didn't realise at that stage it is what it is. I thought I was getting off the ship for a couple of days to just go and see another specialist and have a lot of tests. And when I got there, he said, no, sorry, you're too sick. We need to get you clearance to fly back to the UK. But I felt fine. I just had an eye infection, or so it seemed. So as soon as I got home, I was under Bupa, which was quite nice. It's very nice, in fact. And basically they then said, no, you've got a long-term illness. So we did think it was going to be shorter term than what it was.
Yeah.
So we started having a lovely life. We were laying in, just going to the gym, just going out to eat and drink, thinking that we'd go back to ships in a couple of weeks.
And a couple of weeks turned to a few more weeks, and then a few more weeks turned into a couple of months. And we looked at the bank balance and went...
oh, we should probably actually do something if we're going to be here for a little while.
Yeah.
But in our heads, we still thought it was going to be just maybe a month or
two. Temporary situation.
Exactly. Yeah. But then it turned out that there were a lot more hospital waiting rooms and tests. And
well, the problem was that we, as soon as we found a sort of semi-diagnosis and they started trying to treat it, as far as the ship was concerned, the medical treatment that Gemma was receiving on Bupa was then pulled because there was a diagnosis. So then it had to go over to the NHS, which as much as the NHS is awesome, it's obviously a little bit slower than the private sector. So then, as I said, a few weeks that we were anticipating started to get a bit longer and a bit longer and a bit longer. So literally we went out to...
for breakfast one day, morning, and I got a text message from one of my friends saying, oh, any chance I could have a cake? Because I'd always hobby baked, I'd fattened everybody up. But the thing is, for most of the year, 8-9 months out of the year, we... were at sea, so we couldn't bake.
Yeah.
So when I came home, I used to constantly bake. So all of my friends wanted cakes, and that was fair enough. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if Will and I were living on cloud nine at the time, but we went, well, why don't we just make a business out of this? We're eating breakfast. And I think if my realistic self or my future self had been there to bitch slap myself, or Will, we wouldn't have done it. But then we went, well, there's no point if we're going to do something like this for the summer, just thinking again, it was for the summer. There's no point just being sort of a home baker. No disrespect, but we wanted a unique selling point. So we said, well, we've got to do it differently. So we're just sitting there casually looking and brainstorming ideas all over breakfast. So this is in like a 40-minute window. It's something that I'd always love to do. But I don't think, looking back, we knew what a big
you know,
sort
the
of
significance of that breakfast.
Oh, no,
you
not
might
at
have,
all.
You might have not gone to breakfast there that day and that conversation might not have come up.
But we for literally sure. hopped online and we were looking for food trailers. We'd, going back to the ships, so I used to host all of the culinary demonstrations. I had my own TV show and bits on the ship. So I was always working with different chefs and a lot of them had food trucks. And a lot of them had were like celebrity chefs and stuff. So I knew a lot about this side of things. And I thought back to a guy called Chef Daniel and I was like, oh, he's got a food truck. Maybe we could do a food truck and just do festivals. Completely pulling ideas out the air again. And so we had a look and I was like, oh, look, there's a pink one. That's quite cakey. That looks nice. Oh, and it's only in the West End. I don't know in my head where I thought they were storing it, around the back of Her Majesty's or something. But I called them, arranged a viewing, and it was only a couple of hours later. I went, oh, I better get the address. So I gave her a call. I was like, oh, I just want to know whereabouts in the West End you are. She went, oh, Glasgow. There's a West End in Glasgow. So we literally, the next day, bought a Shogun, a 4x4,
yeah,
drove to Glasgow.
The car we have, it's only a little Clio. And no matter what kind of tow bar you put on the back of it, that
you're
Clio
pulling,
ain't pulling nothing. So yeah, we quickly
bought a car, drove to Glasgow and back in a day with a trailer.
Amazing.
And then literally spent about 4 weeks, was it?
Yeah,
3 or 4 weeks.
Something like that, yeah.
Renovating her, working on our business plan as we went, but we knew we'd be selling cakes and coffee. And then literally started looking for clients, and we
shot off so many emails, didn't we, just hoping that, you know, at the time we were so green we didn't realize, but the festival season starts as application process in, you know, November, December, January, February time, that sort of area about now, and we're in June.
Yeah, we're in June and the festivals are already started,
and we're like,
so
oh,
we're calling
just,
them
you know
up.
We're just literally ringing people up, oh, I've got your email, blah 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 blah, we want to come to your festival, this is what we do. We hadn't done it before. We were literally just winging it, weren't we, to many extents.
Yeah, it was...
You know, we're this quirky cake company. We do this, we do that. In actual fact, we'd not even registered with Company's House. We hadn't set up anything at that point. You know, we were literally just hoping we could get work.
Are you just hanging us right now?
Well, no, because the business hadn't started at that point. We were literally just trying to drum up leads at that point. You know, we were, as I said, greener than green. And lo and behold, somehow... People got back to us.
Yeah, a lot of people started coming back going, yeah, we don't have anything like you. And we went, well, we definitely got that unique selling point, didn't we?
Yeah.
And off to festivals we went. We skipped
very exciting.
Off.
It was a steep learning curve, very steep. But
insofar
again,
as what?
So, that's the next point.
Okay. Look, listen, there's a fucking box of cakes.
Oh, yeah, yeah, we've got
we
cakes.
We haven't started on yet, and I haven't heard anything any of you lot have said yet. So if we can open them... Start eating them.
So you've got a Snickers brownie, a Ferrero Rocher cupcake, chocolate salted caramel or salted caramel, Snickers, lemon or chocolate orange. So it's up to you.
Wow.
Oh, they all sound shit, don't they?
Yeah.
Wow.
Are you going to share?
Of course.
No.
You don't want to, do you?
You want to share a bite of a cupcake with me?
Well,
I don't mind.
There are like,
there's two.
That stuff you've got on your knob, you haven't got it on your mouth, have you?
A little bit, so it started.
There's two orange and there's two lemons. So, I mean, you don't have to split them unless you really, really want to.
Cracking. Well, what did you want to go for, Stu?
I'm going to try the Snickers brownie.
Yeah, okay. Nice. We can share that.
There you go.
That's massive, though.
Now, all of a sudden, you want
to
share. Yeah,
you don't have to eat it Lady and the Tramp style. You can break it in half.
That's the reason why I don't want to share, because we always have to do it that way.
Going in.
So I think, go on, split it in half.
Oh, that is massive.
Thank you. That's what.
The girls never tell him that.
That's very kind of you. Shoe's broken off a tiniest little bit.
Yeah, a little crusty bit.
I'm going to bite off slightly bigger.
No, literally, guys, we eat cake all the time.
No, I know, but...
Help yourself.
We'll pop that back in there, because we might want to have another bit of something else in a little bit to save some room, maybe.
That's good.
Is it good? Mm. Let me give it a little bite. While we chomp on this, why don't you tell us what your number four was?
Oh, okay. So it's the gamble that it just might not work. It's the case of the fear of being a statistic, as it were, mm-hmm. because you can't get around it. The statistics say that pretty much one in three, or is it two in three? I love the fact I got my statistic wrong, mm-hmm. but go under in the first...
It's got to be two or three.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a crazy amount of business in the first year go out of business. And then I think you're still not out of the woods for the first 3 years. Mm-hmm. That's when the statistics sort of starts to lessen, if you like, or get more favourable. But, I mean, you know, businesses can go under at the drop of a hat. I mean, mm-hmm. what was it? Who is it? House of Fraser obviously just had their... Yep.
Oh, the high streets are scary.
Their problems, you know, and House Fraser's been going for years. So, I mean, even though you get past the, you know, the 3 year mark, doesn't mean you're out of the woods. Mm. I mean, as I said, if a corporation like that can go down, hell, anything can happen, right? So,
you guys could have gone down straight away.
Going back to actually one of those learning curves. So, one of our first festivals, it was our first big festival. We'd done a few small festivals, and this one was 12,000.
Had the small ones gone successfully?
Yeah, the small bits had all... Yeah, they had.
Hang on.
This was our first...
The small bits we'd done beforehand we thought were successful, and at the time we were very happy with what we managed to achieve. Looking back on it now, it's... Yeah. kind of laughable, to be honest, isn't it?
But, you know, it is.
You know, you look back and go, that's what we did. You know, there's no way that there's any wage in that for the amount of hours we did. But at the time, we were on cloud nine. Mm. You know, yes, we've gone out.
People wanted our shit.
You know, people have bought our products, you know. So from that point of view, we were immensely proud. But the fact we come home with 20 quid in our pocket.
But confident.
Yeah.
Oh, we were so confident, which I think we needed to be. But this big festival that we went to, it was 12,000, so we're not talking Glastonbury.
It's a lot of people, though.
Yeah, 12,000 people. Yeah, and so we thought, oh, God. And we were in the main area as well, and they were saying, you just make sure you don't run out. So we literally baked
We went to town,
days.
Didn't we?
We baked so, so much. And when we got there, we were very nervous, but it ended up opening late. Everyone had been in the sun all day. Everyone was absolutely off their trolley when they came in. But most importantly, everyone was off their face on MDMA. So the last thing anyone wanted to do was to eat anything, let alone like a stodgy, cakey food. So,
but I will say as well, our plan was not just to offer just cakes. You know, we were going to do like morning breakfast and... Mm-hmm. Toasts and scones
and
all
so
sorts of things like that.
Teas.
So we had loads of stuff with us. I mean, we filled a van. We hired a refrigerated van for the weekend, and it was full to the brim. I mean, there was gallons and gallons of milk. There was bags and bags of coffee. There was so much stuff in this van. If there was an apocalypse, we'd have lived for a year, I'm sure.
But we just didn't want to run out. They said, make sure you don't run out. You look really unprofessional. In hindsight, we should have sold out. That would have been the best thing in the world. So the first night, we'd taken a little bit. The next morning, tumbleweed came past. All the other traders were exactly the same. They're all looking... sort of twiddling their thumbs going, this isn't usually like this. We're all stuffed if something doesn't happen. And I was like, oh, God. I started having a meltdown. I panic about little things. Well, I panic about big things as well. But I overthink everything. So I went, you know what? I just think I need to go and have a little lay down in the tent. I just need some time on my own. So I went out to the tent and all of a sudden I got very religious. I was like, just please let us break even. I don't care what happened. Please just let us break even. I promise I'll be a good girl
this
year.
We, for a new business, we weren't, you know, our house wasn't up for, you know, remortgage and things, but we had literally spent...
Everything we had.
In our savings, you know, the money we had from the ship. So, I mean, you're talking a few thousand pounds. Well, probably a bit more than that, really.
Oh, it was more than that, with the pitch fee and...
Yeah, it was a few thousand pounds was all into this. And we were like, you know, for a new business, we're like three or four events in. This is like sink or swim, you know, you're going one way or the other.
So we were getting very sweaty. So I went out to the tent. I was like, oh, God, please let us, please. And all of a sudden, we started to get a little bit busier, but not by selling cakes, by no means. My brother's girlfriend went, you know what? I've got an idea. Give me a Booker card. So she went off to Macro or Booker, wherever she went, came back with loads of Hubba Bubbas. chewing gum and ice poles and just started selling them to everyone who was off their face on MDMA. They're having a lovely time. Yeah. And we broke even and made, I think, probably about 100 quid over the whole event. But the reality is all the other traders were going home like 6-7 grand down.
Yeah.
So they were going home thousands. And for a first time, people were crying, going, oh, this has ruined our summer. This has like ruined everything. And then there's me skipping off into the sunset.
For like a week's worth of work between two people, we made £100. You're like, yes.
we were high-fiving.
Bankrupt ourselves.
Yes.
But that's the thing. We come away from it going exactly that. You know, we it was a lucky escape. And again, it was a steep learning curve.
Yeah.
And you used initiative to get yourself out of it. I mean, okay, it was your Drew's girlfriend.
Yeah, Drew's
sort
girlfriend,
of helped
Amy.
You, helped
yeah.
you along with that idea, but still.
Yeah, she... She was like, let me go. Off she came.
Yeah.
But
incidentally, that's the greatest chocolate brownie I've ever had.
It's fucking excellent, isn't it?
Amazing.
Yeah. Oh, that is great. I love a Snickers anyway.
I wanted some of that.
Too late, sugar.
But we afterwards, it's also making a good thing, learning out of...
Yeah.
Out of all your situations. Because the problem very quickly
is,
they can.
You get these emails through from these, well, from our point of view, from the festival organisers, and there's a lot of information in there that makes it sound like you're going to literally go in and win the lottery as such. You know, we've got 12,000 people coming, we've got 12,000 resident people staying on site, and you're the only vendor that does tea and coffee, you're the only vendor that does burgers, whatever it is that you do. So you think, oh my God, you've got 12,000 people. Yeah. And they've got to have breakfast, lunch and dinner, and they all need a coffee, because who can't start the day without a coffee or a tea? So you just, you know, whatever it is that you do, you think, yes. And the reality is you get there, and as Gemma said, they're all off their face on other things. And they're not interested about your food offering. Aww. They're not worried about what drinks you've got to offer.
I want to stand next to your radio playing music and dance to it, basically.
Absolutely, yeah, and we did have that. we really did. And... Yeah, you then start to learn very quickly that you can't take everything that comes through in the emails from people as gospel, because these people at the end of the day are trying to do a job. They're trying to fill their slots. You know, it's like they're a salesperson at the end of the day. They're trying to fulfill their quota, as it were.
Yeah, of course.
And we were just green to think that's legitimately 100%
true.
That
just shows how new we were as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we're going into a sector, a business that we had done pretty much little to no research on, other than buying a trailer for.
Yeah, a little bit of research.
Yeah, a little bit, but I mean, not that. Could have done more.
Yeah, probably should have done a bit more. But we learnt as we went in relation to that first summer. We learnt so much.
Yeah.
But that situation, we had so much left over, so we didn't want it to go to waste. And
I remember packing up, actually, and you were literally, you were just in having hissy fits. We can't chuck this away. We can't throw it away. We've got to do something with it. Well, what do you want to do with, you know, 50 gallons of milk? You can't put that in your freezer and get through. It's got to go.
I mean, well, there's got to be somewhere that will take it. There's got to be... the hospice, St Luke's Hospice in Basildon, for example, my aunt went there and she didn't get to see the business. She really liked cake. So I was like, well, let's just try. And Will was like, they're not going to take it. They're not going to take it.
Because I'm thinking from a logical point of view, or I thought it was logic, you know, what happens if something's wrong with the food? I mean, it hasn't. It's been in a refrigerated van. But, you know, who does it come down
to?
Whose insurance is, you know... There's a reason why, you know, the big companies won't give their stuff away to people who are less fortunate for the same reasons. And I said, but they probably won't take it. Yeah. And Jen was adamant. She's like, let's just try, because you never know. I was like, okay. So literally we loaded it all into the car, didn't we? And the next morning drove down to St Luke's, wandered in. And who did we speak? It was the head of...
The head of housekeeping. I went, we've got some bits. We're just on a festival. We've got some food and drink left over if you want it. And she burst into tears. And basically, she was so, so grateful. And they were doing afternoon tea events. But their funding, they didn't have enough to fund it. So basically, they were...
She was pulling her hair out, wondering how she was going to feed all these people that are coming to the hospice.
Amazing.
And all of a sudden...
They had enough cake. They had a lot of cake. But it was a good outcome. And ever since, any of our surplus.
That's right,
goes
you're
to
always
St.
taking a strict down to St. Luke's, isn't it? With like the spare cupcakes and that.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Well, before we move on to things like, because I want to talk about your cupcakes and bits and pieces like that, shall we hear number three?
Yeah.
So what's one of your other ones? Which one of your other challenges? And can I have a drink, please, Stuart?
Yes.
Like, have you got any, what you got down there, mate? Not non-alcoholic, please.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm not drunk, didn't drink a lot this weekend, so just wanted to just take it easy.
Yeah.
Can I have a glass, mate? I guess I can drink it.
Yeah, that's
fine. Sorry.
No, that's all right.
Are you guys okay for the liquid?
All good, thank you. This is very nice.
Yeah, I'm good for a minute, thank
you.
Sure? Yeah, good.
It's lovely. I would say, this all sounds very pessimistic, doesn't it? Because we're given all the bad things. But they're just challenges. But there are so many good things. But my next one is probably the amount of reinvestment and how financially poor and even time poor that we became when we first started. It's, again, literally just reinvestment. And if you don't do that, you don't grow. You've got to speculate to accumulate. But it's a little bit challenging, literally.
Well, you're like, yeah, we've made this money, and it's like, well, we haven't now, because in order to get where we need to go to make this viable in the long run, you've got to put it straight back
in the pot.
Yeah, exactly. So that pot gradually filled itself up, and...
But it's difficult, though, isn't it? Because you know, you look at the end of the month or the end of the week or, you know, whenever it is that you look, and you see all this money sitting there, whether that be in your bank account or in your safe at home or wherever you keep your money. And you think, oh my God, look at all that. But then you think, well, actually, we've still got pitch fees to pay out for. We've still got, what if the car goes wrong? We've still got to pay for the MOT. Insurances are in, you know, and actually, we need a new coffee machine because the one we've got's too small. Or, you know, we need a bigger oven or we need more baking trays. And before you know it, that money that you had is gone and there's nothing left to go and have a drink at the weekend or there's nothing left to book your holidays. And all of a sudden you think, ah...
But it is really worth it.
But that's the thing. You're not. But are you still thinking, well, do you know what? I'm my own boss. Like, I haven't got to get up Monday and do something I don't want to do. I haven't got to go and make someone else some money. Like,
see, that's the thing. Before, we were slaves to the, almost to the corporation. And no matter how much you do, they always want more of your soul. It's never enough. There's always staff cuts. There's always cuts of some form so that you're always having to work more hours and to give that little bit more. And you just feel like you're like a hamster on a wheel. And it was really, really hard. So you don't have that. But at the same time, you have the aspiration constantly, which still to constantly better. Mm-hmm. I guess you could, for some people, they might go, oh, the business is an awesome place. We're happy. We'll just sit here. But I think that's probably one of my downfalls, that I constantly can see the next stage that I would like to get to. Yeah. And I'm sure one day I'll be like, yeah, that's cool. We've rocked this. But at the moment, I can still see ways to improve and to grow the business. So, but you're not... Well, you're your own boss, so you don't have to answer.
Sure, and your hamster on a wheel still, but it's your own wheel, isn't it?
But
exactly.
I find that, you know, I'm probably only one of maybe... few of my mates that, like, and I'm talking about my old mates that have worked for themselves and had their own businesses, and so many of my mates are just like, yeah, but it must be fucking great. You know, if you don't want to go work tomorrow, you ain't got to go work tomorrow. And it's like, yeah, but if I don't go work tomorrow, it don't get done.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? And it's like, and the
no
bonuses.
No sick pay, no holiday pay.
Completely.
None of the fun
and,
stuff.
And the thing is, that at 5 o'clock, when you walk out of your job and you shut the door and you get in, chances are a lot you probably don't think about your job until you walk back through that office door at 9 o'clock in the morning. When you've got your own business, you're laying there at 3 o'clock in the morning thinking, fuck, have I done that? Have I got to do that? Do you know what I mean? It's definitely got its pros and cons. Do you know what I mean? It's all encompassing having your own business without a shadow of a doubt. I mean, it was for me anyway.
Yeah, no,
and like,
it is.
And the thought of, you know, my office was in Basildon, and I would ensure every day that I could work where we're sitting there, you know, but I have to have myself in a work environment. So it was like, right, I'm going to go and rent an office somewhere, and at 8 o'clock, I want to drop the kids to school, and I'm going to go work. I'm going to do them hours, because I have to, because there's distractions at home, and there's things that, you know, school holidays, the kids will be here, and it's like, I can't do it. I can't, you know, I have to be, like, in an environment where I can get my head where it needs to be. And I think it's, yeah, I don't think a lot of people that have never had their own business can quite understand just how hard it is. And I think anyone that's got the balls to have a go at it, it's pretty, I admire them completely.
Yeah, it's definitely hard. The thing is, since we've had a shop, it's definitely got easier in the aspect, like you with the office, because when we're at home, it's like, oh,
definitely,
we'll do that in half an hour. Let's just have a lunch. A nice long lunch. Maybe
yeah.
a nap
oh, but
as well.
Now I've had lunch. I want to go and have a little sleep. Come on, let's just, yeah. just 20 minutes, just 30 minutes. Just yeah. come and stay down 40 minutes. And before you know it, you procrastinate the day away.
Yeah.
Naps are one of my favourite things in the world.
How can you make money out of that, do you reckon?
I don't know, but I'm really, really hoping I'll.
I bet there's some people out there that would watch people sleeping.
There's people who basically go and be snuggle buddies for people when they sleep. And they just sleep together, yeah. not in the fun way.
Yeah.
Craig signed up for that.
yeah.
yeah, snuggle buddies. That's kind
of anytime we've been away, I've always kind of thought, is he watching me? Like, you strike me as someone that just kind of just be sort of get up in the night and just think, I might just watch him for a while.
I like that. I like imagining strangling people. Yeah, so
taking snuggling to the next extreme, yeah.
really,
strangling,
really tight,
a little struggle snuggle.
yeah, yeah. yeah. So, oh gosh,
it's sort of going back to the hours. It's since having like the office, having the shop, we're now governed. We're now stuck there for the hours that we advertise. So there is no, oh, let's just go in at 11 a.m.
yeah.
tomorrow. There was one day we did do it due to unfortunate circumstances. That we didn't open the shop, and we had a family member pass away. So you'd think people would sort of let you have that day, but we got shitty emails. Why are you closed?
Yeah,
been plastered it everywhere. Literally, be plastered it.
They're boards outside everywhere. Every social media. But then there's still those people who don't understand. They,
yeah.
of course, from the other perspective, they might have taken their day off work. There's lots of different reasons why. It's amazing that they obviously felt it's such a special thing to come to Wilma's.
Yeah.
But obviously, that day we just...
At the time, that's not the thing you want to be sitting down
you're
to
still
read.
Human beings, aren't you?
Yeah,
do you know
yeah.
what I mean? Completely.
But as well, because you care, it is really hard then to try and detach yourself from the situation.
Well, when we was on the ships, we used to get like a passenger comment forms at the end of the cruise. To sort of
it's like TripAdvisor of your restaurant.
Yeah, you know, to sort of let you know
ship advisor.
To let you know sort of how you're doing. You know, you could get personal comment cards, or you'd just get an online sort of segment. You know, maybe just say the entertainment was great, the entertainment was crap, whatever. But occasionally, people would single you out. You know, Gemma was amazing at what she did, or we really love Gemma and Will as a, you know, whatever. But then equally, you'd get the people that hated what you did. The entertainment was rubbish. But at that point, as much as you take it personally, it is easier just to shrug it off. You know, it is easier just to go, okay, well, it's not for you, but, you know, whatever. Yeah. Whereas when someone goes, you know, that cake was rubbish, it's like a
not that we've had
dagger
through
your heart. No, we haven't had that, but it's like a dagger through your heart if someone ever says anything bad about what you're doing, because you're sort of putting yourself out there for people to critique, and that's hard.
Yeah.
That is very hard.
Product.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's not just a cake. It's not just a brownie. It's like we've, you know, we've... physically made it, and to have someone say that's not good enough hurts, doesn't it? It wouldn't be good.
As I said, we haven't had that. Though, because it's your passion, right?
Yeah.
And it shows that
when
you give
care,
a shit.
Right?
And if you don't have that, then I don't think having your own business is for you.
Because you should
care about whatever you're doing, whether it be, you know, building a wall or, you know, making a dress or baking cakes or fixing a car. If you don't care about it, then you shouldn't have your own business in it.
Mm. Yeah, very
that
true.
That was very passionate. Yeah, right there.
So we haven't talked about the passion itself, which is the cupcakes. And I don't know if this is going to come up in any of these points, but you have made like a variety of awesome cupcakes. Now, like when I look at online and I compare you to other cupcake businesses, like the top ones, you're smashing it. Your decorations are amazing. And we've sat down before and you've looked at ones, other big brands and that, and you're like, I'm confident. I know I can do this. I know I can make these bigger, these fantastic birthday cakes and whatnot. So how do you get inspired to sort of like do your flavour combinations and stuff like that?
Oh, flavour combinations. Personally, I'm a little bit of a foodie myself, and I just love playing with different things. Like we did quite a lot of food festivals before opening the shop, and so it was always the case of what unusual things can we take to the food festivals. So one of our unusual products, but is still such a great seller, is Marmite and caramel cake. So it's like it's almost like a salted caramel, but you definitely get a Marmite kick from it.
Yeah.
And it really works. All the unusual flavours really, they pull people in, they make conversation point, which is also good for your social media and everything else. But when it is also a kick-ass cake, the worst thing is if you buy something, like we went to Belgium and we had chocolate-flavoured beer, two of the best things combined. Mm. No, it was bad. Mm. So then you just go, oh, well, that was a waste of time and money and effort. Yeah. So, but when it is great, obviously, then thumbs up. So we like unusual things, but it's taking inspiration from wherever you can find it.
Yeah. What combinations?
Do you both like come up with the flavours and do you both bake and decorate? And
oh, I was going to say on the baking of the making of the flavours, I'm going to say yes. No. A lot of it's Gemma's got a real eye for it and a real taste for it as well. You know, I've just got a sweet tooth to the point where actually the other day we were making new hot chocolate concoctions for the shop. And there wasn't one that I got given that was too sweet. I was like, yeah, that's lovely. However, the whole team and anyone else we could find walk through the door was like, oh my God, like, I love
really
sugar, but
that's
so sweet. And I'm like, is it? So, you know, for me, I'm just, you can't outsweet my sweet tooth.
Basically, we don't let Will taste test.
Which isn't great, yeah, because otherwise you just get lots of kids kind of like fitting out on the floor with like sugar.
Leaving diabetic.
There's a climbing wall just so they can burn it off.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's all thanks to me. So I kind of stay away from a lot of that. But
the thing is, people, it's really, really lovely, but obviously, we're both the face when people come in, which is nice. But people will always say in a comment online, or they will come in and they will say it to us in emails and phone calls, oh my God, Gemma, the cake was so amazing. Gemma, I absolutely loved it. You did an amazing job. But Will actually makes the cakes as well. So it might be the case of that some of the quirky flavours that I come up with, but Will definitely bakes. Will's like a cake plastering guru. I've seen his work. He likes calling it plastering because it sounds more manly.
Cake plasterer, yep.
He's got a little shirt with it on the back. But Will is so much better at it than I am. There's definitely things, as a partnership, that we've definitely got down
to a T. That's the thing. There's certain things that I do that are better than Gem, and there's certain things that Gemma does that are better than me. But together, you're still pushing for the same goal, so they complement
each other. Exactly, and you don't find that you get like the ego's not there, where you can't back down on those sort of things. You're just like, okay, it seems that you might have that skill set a bit better, and it's going to work better if we sort of.
But that was the same with the trailer as well, and it was the same with ships. Everything we've done, there's always been that. Yeah. So I couldn't fix a tire or do anything like that. It comes in hand. Do you get
that along cruise ships then?
Tires
going flat all the time. It's a right pain in the arse.
So the trailer's no more.
Actually, no, they officially aren't anymore, are they? Yeah. As of about a month ago.
Is this Cakey McCakeface?
Goodbye. Yeah.
Sayonara.
Yeah. Laters.
Yeah.
Cakey.
Which was a sad day, wasn't it?
Yeah. The shop's definitely taken.
The original idea was to try and keep them on, to be able to do you know, the food festivals. It's sure. a great way of getting out there and meeting new people and showing your product off, especially at some of the food festivals locally. You know, that you have people come from all around. And the idea was to try and still attend them. But with the shop, it's just not been possible.
Yeah.
And, but that's due to its success, which is
absolutely.
Amazing.
It's not, you know, it's not a bad thing, but it's not been possible. So we decided that they need new homes and they're better off being used than sitting there going to waste, really. Okay, so exactly.
So you might see them at a festival next year with some other green owners going, oh.
With 50 gallons of milk
exactly.
in the back.
Yeah, exactly. So much.
Flogging Hubba Bubba.
Yeah. Nice poles.
Because that's the thing, isn't it? It's like you have been, it has gone really well, and you have had people approach you. Like, people are keen, aren't they, to sort of like get their fingers into it, really. And sort of help you along, but also, you know, you don't want to expand. It seems like you don't want to expand too quickly. Like, you want to sort of take your time and make sure you know your game and know the sort of the numbers that you're
doing.
When
we first started, it was a little bit of a whirlwind, and we did think that with Cake and Cake Face, it was just going to be for a summer.
Yeah.
And when we realised that actually there was a success in this and our product is really, really great, we then had to work out everything else that came with it, and then it grew slowly, and since it has grown a lot slower, thank God. We haven't played any more gambling. We
do everything calculated,
yeah, everything's calculated now,
so, and researched as well, which is what we missed out to begin with. A lot of it is, you know, we do a lot more research before we launch anything, before we do anything. You know, I mean, you know, we've been chewing your ear off many a time about what to do and what sort of avenues to get people's opinions on things, which to begin with we didn't necessarily do 100%.
Do you not? I think when you start something new, you're so excited about opportunities and what you're doing that the pitfalls are kind of secondary, really, aren't they?
Yeah.
I think you just get caught up in it and get excited,
right? It was a
complete
whirlwind. And I think if we hadn't have had that, I don't think we would be where we are today, because there were people saying yes. Ultimately, we were too late. We were really lucky that we were given those opportunities. Mm. And if we'd had those knockbacks, then we just wouldn't be. But
I think the other thing to take from that as well is that, you know, as much as we've had those bad things happen to us, I'm at the same time still sitting here not wanting to change a single thing that's happened, because those bad things have still helped us get to where we are today.
And you survived.
Of course.
Because, you know, again, the learning curve, you know, had that not have happened, had we have gone to that first festival and had an amazing time, we probably wouldn't have learned. You know, I believe you learn a lot more from your failures than you do your successes.
Absolutely.
Because you can figure out what went wrong and adjust it to make sure it doesn't happen.
You just have to hope that those failures aren't too big.
Yes,
it's
absolutely.
It's a weird analogy I'm going to say here, but I got a new phone the other day and I knocked it off the side and it hit on my stone tiled kitchen floor. It hit that and I thought, oh my God. And you know, it hadn't cracked, it hadn't done anything. It done the smallest dent on the side of it. Like, it's absolutely so tiny. And I was bitching about it to myself. I was like, oh, for fuck's sake. And the truth is, it's like, I just got an absolute warning that I have to order it.
Have you bought a screen protector?
Yeah, I bought it. I'm waiting for it.
Good.
So I have, like, so it was like, that was a good thing, because if I hadn't had that happen, the next mistake would have been the one that I couldn't recover from. The one where the phone is in pieces and you're like, that's beyond broken. So you do survive from your mistakes if you live through them. Do you know what I mean? If it doesn't utterly kill your business then dead in the water, then you should be able to sort of like learn from it and sort of like crawl back from it. And
I think as well, it's wanting and almost wanting to learn from it, because you see so many people go, oh, doesn't matter, and you just see people still making the same mistakes. But we took our chip and we stuck a phone screen protector on it and still are. But the shop is growing a little bit slower, which is great, because
it wouldn't have been sustainable, would it?
Yeah, exactly.
And I think getting back to what you said earlier,
you could end up overcommitting or making a mistake, and now you know it better. So
yeah, absolutely. And then when it comes to the expansion as well, you also really—I mean, I can't speak for every industry out there, but I know, you know, specifically with us, it's learning to trust the people you're working with, that they aren't going to rip you off, that they aren't going to learn what you're teaching them and go and do it themselves. So you've got to make sure that you get a sort of sustainable workforce as such to sort
of
help.
That's hard though, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. Because you know, as much as you think you know someone, ultimately, I suppose you never really truly do. But you hope that the person you're investing that time and effort in will pay off in the future.
Yeah. Yeah.
And again, I mean, even recently, we've had a lucky escape with that one, hadn't we? With the shop. There were some people that we got to know and we thought were very friendly with us. And unfortunately, we let them a little bit too close. And they were almost going to do what we did, minus a couple of things, directly opposite us, because a place came up. And you know, completely blindsided us, like 110%. Neither of us expected it at all, which is difficult, you know. Just as you think, you know, you're sort of riding that wave of, you know, we're doing all right.
Well, and you want to help out others. And
Yeah, exactly. You know, and that was the thing. It come from what we were trying to do, from a good place of trying to help other people, but unfortunately they then whipped that carpet from under our feet.
Some people are just ruthless pricks. They really are. Yeah.
But the thing is, in business, I think you have to be a bit ruthless. Mm. But I think there's a line, there's
people,
a level.
People like to, the ruthless people are the people who say, oh, it's just business. And it's actually like, there's avenues and scope. I have this conversation with Aaron a lot. Aaron on yet. And at some point, I'm sure we will. But he's like, sometimes feels bad when he doesn't want to do certain ventures with certain people. And it's like, but, you know, there's reasons. You've just explained the reasons. This isn't about friendship. It's just that's the decision that you've made. And it's a sensible, that's not being harsh, you know. Aaron always gives opportunities to everyone that he thinks is right for it. But then there's other people who are just flat out sharking. And that's it. It's like you can't, there is a line with it and capitalism and stuff like that.
It's hard because you've got to distinguish between the two. Yeah. Are people like wolves in sheep clothing or are they actually genuine? It's really hard to know and to trust. Obviously, clearly we have trust issues with stuff, but... I think
you want to protect what you've also built. The last 3 years, we have given up so much. You know, as Gemma said earlier, it was we've had friendships put on the line because they don't understand that 9-to-5 thing. You know, we've missed out on a lot through, you know, whether it be birthdays or, you know, all sorts of things. And so I wouldn't want to lose all of that just because we entrusted in someone too quickly.
Yeah.
You know, so it may be a trust issue. But I think so far that trust issue has probably served us well to date.
Mm-hmm.
But then I would say, yeah, that has served us well. But at the same time, the success of Wilma's, which again is amazing, we now, on weekends, we get queues out the door for several hours at a time. And our little shop really is bursting at the seams. And it's to the point where it's almost counterproductive because people will start getting upset if they can't get the goods as quickly. Yeah. So
they don't mind waiting.
No.
That's exactly. Kind of a good thing because it shows you've got a good product, but they don't want
to
be waiting.
Get to the front of the queue and there's then nowhere to sit because, you know, everyone's already taken the seats, you know. So then all of a sudden they can get their hands on the product, whatever that may be, in drink or food form, but there's nowhere for them to sit down and have it.
Although people are pretty much, they're really, really happy if they can, if we haven't sold out, they're really, really happy. But also, we feel really bad that people are queuing. So we have been slow to an extent, but we also do need to start thinking... Well, we've already started thinking ages ago about the next step so that it's not counterintuitive and it's not a bad thing, but...
Doesn't start going against us, hopefully.
Yeah, exactly. Fingers crossed. It's a hard tightrope.
It's not a bad problem to have, though.
It's really not. Like, we're in a very good place.
It's a good problem of all the problems, do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Let's celebrate.
But I think one of our, for me, one of my biggest worries was when we started the shop and when we started the trailer and when we started anything that we've done to date, was that I didn't want to take on, a workforce, like we're employing hundreds of people, you know, but I didn't want to employ somebody, you know, have somebody working with us, for us, you know, and then 2 weeks later realise actually we can't afford that because you're messing with somebody else, you know, that person could have given up a job that they had for a long time. They may have not had a job. They may have been unemployed for months, but it's unfair to also mess with other people all because you're trying to expand too quickly.
Yeah.
So as Jem said, you know, we have done it slowly and sometimes it, you know, creates a bit of supply and demand, I guess. But we hope it hasn't been detrimental.
Yeah.
They're all challenges that you face and it's just learning to overcome them and do it within the right time frame.
Stu, this is lovely. Do you want a nibble of this? Because I better not eat another bloody whole cupcake on my own. Do you want me to save you a bit? You're going to cut it with a knife because you don't want my lips on it. Right, okay. I won't be offended.
Who's going to get the chocolate piece?
I'll try and wing that over to Stu in a minute if I've got time.
Thanks, dude. So,
go on.
Number two.
I would say it's comparing yourself to others, but with social media and everything is just so accessible all of the time. And
right.
Even away from your business, obviously yeah. with social media, it's hard not to compare, but it is really challenging. It's just a massive challenge because it's always... Is our product as good? Are they better than us?
Well, as you said, it is so easy to do. I mean, you know, going back, what's Facebook been around for? I don't know, 15 years or so. So you go back 20 years. If we were sitting here 20 years ago, you know, if we wanted to compare ourselves, we'd wander down to the local bakery mm-hmm. or, you know, the cake shop in the neighbouring town or whatever. And you'd go, oh, I think our cake's better than that. Oh, man, that one's better than us. Oh, we need to work on that, but that's okay. Mm-hmm. Whereas now you lay in bed at night or you wake up in the morning or you sit in the car or whenever you do, and you've got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of other people doing similar things to you. And you think,
yeah.
oh my God, they got, you know, 1,000 likes on that cap. We only got, you know, 150. Yeah. But it's the same. But why? What are they doing better? Why not us? Why them? Why? And it's very easy to...
have that self-belief.
Yeah, it's very easy to put yourself down and start not believing right. in your own product because, again, it's that Facebook syndrome, isn't it? You think someone's life's better than yours because they're posting pictures on the beach. Never mind that beach picture was taken 6 months ago. In actual fact, they hate their job and yeah. they're sitting in an office being shouted at by the boss. But all of a sudden you think their life's awesome because they're posting beach pictures or whatever it is.
And the truth is they just lost their trousers and they were on the sand.
Yeah, where, you know, they but...
they weren't actually on holiday. Anyway.
And it's the same
Isn't
thing...
Isn't that what happened to you recently?
It's happened a few times.
Yeah.
I think I sold you some Hubba Bubba for 14 quid for a pack.
It was 15 quid.
But yeah, that's a difficult thing to do, I think, is I suppose in a way, comparing yourself, but not comparing yourself.
To. Yeah.
You know, you've got to
check yourself. You've got to be aware of your compares, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you have to.
You've got, as I said, it keeps you in check, but you've got to be careful not to let it rule you as well.
Mm. Otherwise, it makes you go crazy.
Yeah, very quickly.
Do you know what? It's got very little relevance, but it just made me think. I was at the club this morning, and we used to get like pre social media, and I guess it still goes on nightclubs. You'd flyer, so you stand outside clubs and flyer and whatnot. But our approach to it, at the club that I'm at, was like, look, let's not stand outside other people's clubs. It's like it's just not right. Don't sit right for. The sort of club that we are and what our approach to it is.
You'd approach people in alleys with knives to the throat, wouldn't you?
Exactly, mate. Exactly.
Come to my club night.
Yeah.
Give me a photo.
Like, but it didn't sit right with us, so we didn't really do it. And one night, this guy was literally standing right outside our club, just giving out flyers for his night, which is very similar to what we'd done. On the same night that we was doing
it. That's just fucking ridiculous.
And I got, like, fucking angry. I was just, like, just fucking running down the road.
Yeah.
And the governor just went out there and went, oh, mate. He was like, all right. He went, like, it's freezing, isn't it? He went, yeah, I'll come in. He said, like, I'll get you a cup of tea. He said, do you want a brandy in there? And he was like, what? And he just let him stand in our corridor and give out his flyers. Got him a cup of coffee with a brandy in it. And he went, yeah, tell your boss you had a good night in here tonight. And I don't know what his kind of thought process was behind it, but the geezer, I've never seen anyone look more confused and uneasy, whether he thought at some point I was just going to shut the doors. But then I was like, see that, mate? He was like, yeah, see ya. And just like walked off, just completely mind blown. Like, what happened there? Like, they literally invited us in and made a fuss of me and let me fly her. Yeah, not suggesting that that's a good way forward for your business. But,
it was quite the week after.
It was, yeah.
But he never came back.
Yeah, it was quite unique. He never came back. Brilliant. Top spot.
What's numero uno?
I would say, out of everything, the biggest challenge is actually getting to the point of having the business and taking that leap, because so many people come into us pretty much every day. At least one person says, oh, it's amazing what you've done, I wish I could do it, oh, I always wanted to do this, but I never could take that leap. And a lot of people, whether they do it part time because they still need that income, that when you're not, when you don't have to live it, you won't ever give it your all.
If you've got something to fall back, you'll always fall back.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so many people say, oh, I really wish. But just taking that leap, it's doing it. And it is a challenge. But providing you don't mess up at your first festival, you never look back. Yeah. Well, I guess some people might do. But don't take my word for that. But
and if you two can do it, Jesus Christ.
Oh, that's what I was thinking. Exactly, really. Yeah. Yeah.
And without going into too much detail, I'm on the cusp right now of doing it again now.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah,
does
literally
like
this week.
Like, wow.
So it's...
does it make you all fuzzy in your belly and your
No,
pants?
It just gives me panic. Gives me panic. And it... But, you know, as anything, you just think... I think it's just getting older gives me that little bit of doubt as well. Because, like, when I was young, I just threw myself at anything and... But now I'm just at a point where I just think, oh yeah, I've got kids and a house and.
But there will always be those things.
There will.
There's always those things, and even if you don't have the kids or the house, it's the holidays. There's always something. There's always going to be that excuse, and you just need to remove that and go, do I believe this is going to work? If I do, can I make it work? Then I'm going to do it. I mean, before we opened the shop, we'd all. Been going for like 2 years, so we knew the business was going well, and it took 6 weeks to turn the shop around, and for that whole 6 weeks, pretty much 5 weeks, I was living on cloud nine. I was like, this is going to be the most amazing thing in the world, and Will was like Mr. Miserable, going, oh God, what happens if no one comes? And it was a few days before we actually opened that we'd start to post, oh my God, we're opening in 3 days time, doing the countdown, that Will was like, oh, this is the most amazing thing in the world, Gemma, you are so right. And then that was it. I was like, I was physically sick.
We had the biggest row that night. We went home and just argued the whole night. She's like, what if no one comes? Like, of course they're going to come. The shop looks amazing. And Gemma's like,
what if people don't come? And we was like, but they will. We've just got to trust in it. I was like, but what if they don't? Oh God, we've got all these overheads. But people did come, thankfully. And the first day we opened, everyone we knew came to support us, which was amazing. But when it happened gradually and you don't sort of realise when it sort of stops, that you stop realising that I've never met these people before and they want our stuff. And it's such a warm, fuzzy feeling. And it is amazing.
Especially when you get chatting to people. I mean, we are absolute chatters when we're on the counter. You know, someone comes in for a cup of coffee and they're there for half an hour because we're asking them about their weekend and telling them about what we got up to. And before you know it, you know their life's history and... they're a regular customer, and you know, there's a lot that we have like that. You know, we know what they're up to at the weekends and when they're off on holiday, and it's lovely.
When you have that, then you know, as a customer, you'd feel comfortable going on your own, right?
Yeah, we have a lot of people come in, don't we? Who, you know, we know they come in on a Tuesday morning, or they come in on a Thursday afternoon, or a Saturday afternoon, and you know, you have like a little catch up, and it's really nice.
And people buy into people, don't they? Exactly. So they buy into you as much as the cakes. Do you know what I mean?
It sounds corny, but. And I don't really do corny very well, so forgive me. But they're more than just customers, you know. Yeah. It's kind of like
if you don't see them, you go, oh, "Where are they?"
Yeah. Mm. What?
I just farted.
I didn't know if that was your chair squeaking.
my niece knows my every sound that I make. She's like, "That's a fart."
Yeah, that was a fart. Apologies. I'm glad I'm not sat next
to not make a big deal of it while Will's saying, "I don't want to sound corny here, say so deep." Oi, you just fart! Sorry, Will, carry on, mate.
No, it's nice that you get those customers.
Yeah.
And customers, therefore, aren't just customers. They become more than that. We've made a little community, and touch wood, touch my head, long may it continue, because you come to really appreciate it.
Your social media is very, very good.
Oh, it's bloody hard work, though.
It's good.
It is really.
How long does it take you to do your like the average post? Because you set up your cake, you know, you take a nice picture.
Well, I mean, I suppose if you look into it all well and truly, it takes a really long time because you've got to have the product to take the picture of, right?
Yeah.
But so then they're they're orders.
They are
aren't
orders,
they?
So but they all still take time to prepare.
Yeah.
And then you've still got to find time to photograph them.
Mm-hmm.
Like this weekend, I think we only got 2 photos of the 14 or so that went out.
Yeah, on Saturday.
Because we were just too busy. you know. So you've had a load of cake go out that you didn't get photos for. So you've got to try and find the time for the photo. And then you've got to try and find the space for the photo in the shop.
But it's also
editing when you get to the other end.
Just cropping them. But it's then
figuring
the
what to
content.
Write.
Writing,
here's another cake. Here's another bloody cake. Well, look at another cake.
Really
here's a rainbow cake. Here's a blue cake.
If you do end up getting pulled into that Instagram game, and so then you do have to think about, well, what am I posting here? What are their algorithms? Because otherwise they'll just start ignoring shit, and then it doesn't matter what you post.
Sometimes you find like an amazing cake will just get drowned by the algorithm, and that's it. It's gone. And all of a sudden you're like, why have I only got that amount?
And
of
you
likes
really
on
was
that?
Like, this is
I
the one.
I thought this was the best thing ever, and it's got like a lot.
Yeah, you think like you've got the money shot in cake form, and you're like, yes, that's the one. That's going to go at the peak time. And as Jem said, like you look at it, you know, 2 days later, and it's got 60 likes, and you think, what went wrong?
Yeah.
As soon as you start to connect, though, when we actually give time to writing a post as opposed to just being like, here's another rainbow cake, you get so much more back, and it is the communicating and taking the time and responding. It literally is a full-time job.
It's hard to think like being witty or like, you know, like Pip does it really well, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And like really you well. Do well because you do it a lot more. I don't do it. I really hate it.
But we spoke about this at the weekend, didn't we? And it's like, and what we've noticed in regards to the podcast is, you know, every day I will put up a variant of our artwork for this week's release. And we know that we're going to get pretty much the same amount of likes for every single one. Yet I'll then put up a picture of, for instance, him asleep on a train or something, and I'll just put Craig dreaming of his next victim or something like that, and it'll get, you know, 10 times the amount of likes. Anything that we do that is more human and more just not about the product, but more about us idiots, they seem to...
Definitely, and more our humour as well. Yeah. Like even if it isn't that, you know, if it's along the lines of the hardcore listing humour, then we will get more.
Yeah.
We've got more reaction. I even noticed on one of your pictures, it was of Gemma holding a cake or something like that, and that had gone through the roof. Like people would really like to see the sort of person, like see your faces behind it and all that. And
which is nice, but it is almost hard to put yourself out there. There was a time if you scroll
back.
You
was naked, right?
Yeah, I was. I just had two little cherries.
Cool. That's what I thought, just,
Calendar girl style.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
We say even if it was down by your knees, wasn't it?
Don't even push
you
off that stool.
But yeah, I do agree with the personal aspect. The minute you make it a bit more personal, you find that, you know, it goes tenfold. There's various pictures of Gemma down the feed. Of, you know, one of them was Beast from the East. We went out and he was holding a hot chocolate, wasn't he?
And I don't know how.
It's not
an
amazing
like
picture.
On it.
Wow.
Like, it's really not like the
and
photography
like,
isn't amazing.
Like, I've got so much gum going on, and I'm
just
neighing.
And it's just like a little pose with a coffee cup. Like, there's nothing spectacular about the photo as a whole.
Yeah.
You know, you don't look at it and go, oh my god, you know, someone with an awesome camera shot that awesome photo. It's just a picture. And as Jem said, you know, 500 odd likes or something ridiculous.
It's crazy, isn't it?
And then the next day you post a cake and you back down to 20, 30, 40, 50, and then post another picture. You did one at the weekend because we recently celebrated the first birthday of the shop. And there's a picture of Gemma
picture
cutting
like,
the cake.
All gums
and again,
nose.
It's back up to 500 again. You think, well, what?
But we've long been saying it's something that we're working on now, really, which is like we've realised now that with our listenership, looking back through like our downloads and that I know when for instance, we got Frank Bruno confirmed, we was like, this is going to be just off the scale. And then we realised that we got the same amount of listens as that when me and Chris drove to London in his car talking about top five bags of sweets or rubbish. It didn't, you know. Because
we do love a bag of sweets, though. Like, don't mess about what
you want. But no, it, you know, it did, didn't it? Yeah. And we realised then that, oh, right, so maybe a lot of the listeners actually are maybe starting to actually listen to
us.
Me and him. And you know, so obviously that's one of the reasons we set the Patreon up, wasn't it? That we could focus more on just us having a chat.
Yeah.
But how amazing, like, how it's taken off. Because even, like, of course, everything's a risk, but like you say, people buy into you guys. Yeah. Does that make you feel warm and fuzzy inside?
It's ridiculous.
It stuns me, because, I mean, I know, but you know more than me. He's a fucking idiot, right?
Oh, fuck, I've been stuck with him forever.
Like, and so, you know, I get why people like me, but...
which you wouldn't get from the club, because he's standing in there with a trench coat on this weekend.
Oh, mate!
In his own club, not smiling.
Right, let me tell you what someone said. It was brilliant. There was a girl that was at the front of the DJ booth all night, just jumping around.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
she was really friendly. Yeah. And she come up to me and she went, and Pip was DJing, and I was just standing there next to him, and she went, "You his bodyguard?" And I went, no. She went, "Oh, it's just that you seem a bit older than the other DJs." And I just thought, fuck you. And I went, really? She went, "Yeah, you look like a kind of, like a bigger Phil Mitchell." And I thought, you could have just said Grant. But you didn't. You've equated my potato head to his potato head.
Oh,
that's what bothered me.
Fucking brilliant. The other priceless thing about the club night was Shu came in and think he was being all trendy with this jacket on. Six other dudes walked in the same fucking
in the
coat.
First 15 minutes.
Like, did you take it off?
He was the only one who didn't, so I think all the young'uns saw my granddad wearing it. I saw five in the toilet.
It was insane, wasn't
really?
It?
It was like, it was tear-inducing to see,
the
like,
DJ
one
booth. Yeah. And we could see the stairs, couldn't we? And, like, literally, I was like, oh, for fuck's sake. And there was, like, literally, within 15 minutes, six people in exactly the same coat. Dan says, walk past the DJ booth, clocks me, and then obviously just... Because they went into, like, a private area where there was a party, and I thought...
We thought that was Stu's gang.
And I thought, well, should I go and, like, see if I can get in? I've got the same coat.
It's brilliant.
The only difference is, obviously, yours was the vintage version.
Of course, of course. I was way older than that. I mean...
Frayed and white, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, just... Were the kids slagging me off for earlier for trying to dress younger than I am?
I don't know, mate, yeah.
I think you was trying to encourage it, which is quite rich. Because
he's gone red, he knows.
Because
he
normally knows he's here in his, like, camo tracksuit bottoms, looking like a hybrid of fucking Brian Harvey and Dappy.
You look like, what's his name, Lee Nelson. That's what you look like tonight, mate. So you want to wind your neck in? Yeah, no, I don't even know how we started. This has ended up with me and you caning each other as usual. It's
generally how it rolls.
Going back to it was a crazy surprise that people started, like, listening and catching on to it. It's fucking mental. And we're seeing more and more at the club night now, more and more listeners are at the club night and chatting to us. And it's like, what the fuck? That's mad to think people are still listening and going back and listening to episodes and... Was saying to Shu, the episodes they're listening to, they're not always with the big names. They're with me and Shu literally tearing into each other. Or that's really cool. It's really nice. And
well, last week's one with Gary Hayes at the PTSD 999.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
That the response we've had online to that, you know, far outweighs, you know, some of the really successful, like, musicians or actors and stuff like that we've had on. Mm. Just some, you know, guy that had a harrowing time.
Yeah.
As so many people have sort of sent messages and reached out and said,
that, don't they?
I think there's an element where they can relate to it, can't they?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, completely.
You look at what's her face on
what's her face?
And I'm a Summers. Celebrity.
The judge on The Chase. Or
yes, yeah. The governess.
Governess.
When she had a talk about
autism.
Yeah.
The response they had online on, you know, I mean, she. Almost sort of broke the internet as such.
Yeah.
People were just going crazy for it. The fact that
she
put
didn't
it
even
on
sit on it.
But we've found that you know, we've dealt with, like, a lot of our, you know, we've had lots of people that that have autism message us.
Yeah, for sure.
Saying that some of them haven't got the confidence to go to pubs and, you know, or the confidence to, you know, grow their social circle and things like that. We've had, like, you know, a fair few reach out to us and say, like, you know, we kind of feel like we're down the pub when you lot are sitting there having a drink and talking nonsense. You know, we're listening and it, you know, feels...
But surely that makes you feel...
And it does, because, you know, when a lot of these people reach out to us, then... When we do live shows now, a lot of them come from all over the place, a lot of them on their own. And so we now organise, and I mean, they've took it with both hands now, right, Chris? And they've moved way past it now. We used to set up a little meeting point for them where they, you know, everybody would come down and meet and then they'd come to the show together. So they're friends. But, you know, we can sit on social media now that they've completely developed them relationships now and they're all chatting and tweeting and retweeting. And it's lovely to see that, you know.
And the messages we get on Instagram are fucking so nice. It's worth doing just from what people sometimes say on Instagram to us, like in personal messages. It really is. Yeah. We had a couple this week and off the back of Gary Hayes. Not just about Gary, but... No, about us doing it and stuff like that, and it's cool. And it's even like your story now, like people can relate, like people, lots of people want to have those dreams of starting a business, and so people can relate more to these sort of conversations, I think, than always like us having like I don't say we don't get the standard of people that Pip gets on in terms of fame, but I'm not that interested in it. It's cool, but I much prefer like, the conversations we have, and I think our audience do as well. So
I'll probably disagree and say I would have bumped you for like Ricky Gervais or Brad Pitt. Yeah, not going to lie.
Yeah.
All right, well, no more cakes for you, mate.
But it is, I know exactly what you're saying. It is a case of, like, as I said to you earlier, people buy into people. Mm. And I think that there's not going to be a big connection with somebody that maybe... spent the last 30 years touring the world in a band or, you know, on
as
film sets.
As much as
sets,
they may have some awesome stories to tell, likes of us, it's nice to hear, but...
Yeah, you can't relate to it.
No. Exactly.
But someone having an idea, you know, and being, you know, working class people that are just throwing themselves at an idea and you know, busting their balls trying to get where they want to get with it. Everyone can relate to that. Do you know what I mean? It's just having aspirations and dreams and you know, having a crack at it.
Here, and long may this podcast support people like that. And you know,
well done, lads.
So it's groovy. Well, it's been emotional. Oh.
But before we finish, going back to the social media that I said of yours was so good. So where can people follow the social media that is so good?
We're on Facebook and Instagram. Wilma's Bakery.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tend not to use Twitter too much.
Okay.
Yeah, I say too much. Visual. We don't.
You want to look at them tasty goddamn cakes on Instagram. Mm. That's where it's at.
Well, we'll get some photos of the ones that we've been eating this evening.
Yeah. And you need to come to the bakery.
Yes, I've not been yet.
We've all often said that we want to do a podcast there.
Mm.
Oh yeah.
So come. If you guys would let us, then that would be we'd love to do one there. That'd be amazing.
Mm.
As long as you're not there, it'll be all right.
All right, well, Stu can come.
You can just wait outside and we'll hang with Stu.
I'm the best one.
Yeah, you are. No, we God, know
thank
it.
You.
No, that's great.
They know it.
As long as we're all willing to accept that, we can move on.
Yeah, exactly.
If you do come, though, make sure you've got a hat that fits your head.
Oh, yeah. Sure. He's got an uber dappy now.
Yeah, it's getting worse. It's like about to pop off.
Grow up.
Condom.
Condom head.
Yeah.
Gnome. Love you guys.
Well, there you go. That's it. You're done. Another episode. I hope you enjoyed it. We had a lot of fun recording it. Gemma and Will were absolutely delightful, as were their bakes. If you liked it, please head over to iTunes. Give us a nice little rating. Better still, subscribe. You also, if you didn't know, you can also listen on Acast. And now you can listen on Spotify. If that makes things easier, then go and do that. That's me lot, I think. Yeah, I'll see you next week. Mine ego. Bye-bye. It's a drunken soiree in the Whiffin. Chris and Stu present Hardcore Listing, the podcast.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.